The other term of reference we have is to evaluate or provide comments, rather, on the terms of reference for the meeting, the review meeting of the surveys used in the SCALLOP assessment. And I believe, Jim, are you prepared to give a little background about this? This is item number 6 in the distribution list.
Thanks. This is Jim Weinberg, and this is a you have a handout number 6 that was distributed at the beginning of the SCALLOP discussion, and this began as background in April of 2012 when I first heard about it at the New England Council meeting, and there was a lot of concern voiced at that meeting about switching over to the HABCAM survey. There were concerns that this was being done prematurely, and a number of other concerns were raised as well. And in particular, there were a number of people that were involved with the drop camera survey from SMAST that felt that they were getting basically abandoned, and that this was a vital part of the SCALLOP survey. So a motion was made at the April New England Council meeting that the SSC review the new C-SCALLOP HABCAM survey technology and methods. And Bill Karp and Russ Brown thought about this after the council meeting, and they decided that it would be appropriate for the center to offer to perform a CIE type review of the new HABCAM instrument, but of all the different survey instruments that are used that provide data to the C-SCALLOP's stock assessment. One of the letters that Paul Howard then sent to Bill Karp was asking that your SSC, this SSC, look over the draft terms of reference that the center developed and provide feedback back to the Science Center on the terms of reference. And there are 10 of them, and you have them written on this 2-page handout. The Science Center leaders wanted me to tell you that in addition to asking for your feedback, they'll be contacting all of the parties that are involved with providing data. So the VIMS and the SMAST people will also be contacted to provide comments on the terms of reference. And I think that Russ Brown had indicated that he would like, well, if you feel like this is something that you want to go through today, that would be fine, and provide some written comments back to Russ Brown and Paul Rago within a few weeks. I think that would be a reasonable timeline. If you want to look at them today and decide that you have no comments, that they are adequate, that would be a message that I can take back. And I thought I would just walk you through the 10 terms of reference just to give you a sense of what we have here. And I think that these were developed. Paul Rago and his staff spent quite a bit of time going back and forth to develop these terms of reference. The first one is more of a to provide some background for the peer review. It's to summarize the historical C-SCALLOP survey indices from all four of these different data sources. And the four sources are the Center C-SCALLOP, the survey, BIMS Cooperative Survey, and the HUI HABCAM Survey. Then with that background, the second term of reference has to do with reviewing the biological sampling that each of these types of surveys does. The third term of reference
Can I interrupt?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Scott Sullivan.
Thanks, Jim. I'm just wondering if it would be helpful, like for number two and maybe number three as well, to be more specific about what it is that what the review will look at.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I were trying to do this, I'm not, broadly, I'm getting the picture that we want to kind of look it over, see if there's anything wrong, right? But if there's some specific things in association with this, like, is, you know, maybe stating, is it unbiased? Is it a variance minimizing estimation? Is it cost effective? You know, those kinds of things. And the same thing for number three.
Mm-hmm.
Is there sort of a minimum measure, estimate of measurement error? Do we want to compare measurement errors across the different methods? Is there a higher priority for one or two aspects of the list, or are they all equal priority? Those kinds of things. I think that would be helpful for the reviewers.
Right. Chris, will you be taking some notes? Or okay, that's good. And I think that you'll see possibly some redundancy between the terms of reference, and some of the comments you just made will apply equally to other terms of reference. The fourth one has to do with the utility of the data to detect certain things, like incoming recruitment, and the some of these data can be used for other things as well as, for example, to look at predator-prey interactions. So they're not necessarily just related to collecting data on the fifth one seems to be kind of the meat of the, in my mind, it looks like this is a really important one, the statistical design, the relative precision, and the relative efficiency of each of the four survey systems. And the sixth one has to do with how are all of these different surveys integrated into C-Scallop assessments. And I know currently that they're all being used, and we saw examples this morning of how well they are being integrated. But this review will actually address that and, I guess, figure out whether it's being done well or if there's too much redundancy in the system or if it's necessary. Then one gets a little more at the general value of the different surveys, whether they're meeting what they call mission critical objectives. And so this gets out all the way to considering the ecosystem properties. So, going all the way from very narrow objectives all the way out to the ecosystem. And number eight, it goes off in a slightly different direction, and that's the price tag on all of these different survey methods, including vessel time, staffing, data acquisition, etc. Number nine will look at the complementarity of the four surveys. And again, I think another way of looking at that is the redundancy of the information that they are collecting. And number 10 is kind of a feel-good one, I think, about how we will all go forward in the future collaborating and, we'll see how much time is left for number 10 in the review. One thing that I just noticed that I'll mention here is it wasn't entirely clear to me. Some of these seem to be things that the people who are actually involved with the surveys would have to be providing, and other terms of reference seem to be more of the nature of things that the reviewers will be commenting on, and so it's a little fuzzy on what different people's roles are in the way these are written. So those are the only comments that I have, and you can proceed either now or decide to handle this at a later time in any way you like. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate the background. Devorah, do you have a comment?
One minor thing, but I know certain people, where this is written, are not going to be happy with it. They refer to the HUI HABCAM surveys. The funding, other than the NIMS HABCAM, the other funding, while HUI's been subcontractors, actually going to Ernie's Fisheries, a commercial fisheries operation, there's people involved with it, like Richard Taylor, who are not HUI employees. So while HUI's involved with it, I would just drop HUI and say HABCAM surveys, because that's, and I don't care very much, but there are people that this is a sensitive point.
Is it, Jay Kreutzer, is it implied in number 8 that the expertise, you know, the long-term support in terms of staff, the skills they have, and any other infrastructure will also be specified, in addition to just the cost of it all?
That could be. I'm not sure how far that will go. I know heard Wendy Gabriel had a few comments, and she was concerned about the linkage between the long-term support for these methods, their costs, and the staffing requirements. So different people will view these terms of reference as having different importance to them.
I asked the question to try to avoid getting in a similar situation to where we are with the Hague assessment, to having a tool that we begin using but don't have a long-term plan for its continued use.
This is great, Jim. I this is Pat Sullivan. I appreciate putting it together. I agree with you about the separation out into what would be sort of like a SAW part versus a SARC part, and I think it will be important to identify those. And in terms of the initial two or three that I talked about, the term review is sort of soft, and if we don't know which group is doing it, the SAW or the SARC, then it gets confusing as well. So the SAW might collect the data together while the SARC sort of reviews it and so forth. So that might be a separation of tasks there. The only other thing that sort of catches my eye with regard to the point 8 what you were just discussing is if you get a CIE-like team, it would be good to have, of course, statisticians on it, population dynamicists, in terms of its usefulness for the model, but you'll also need human dimensions or economics type person, because stat person won't be able to summarize the overall costs in a knowledgeable way like an economist would be able to. So just in terms of thinking about the kinds of people that you might bring in to do this kind of review.
Yeah, the little bit I know about the review team, I don't think we're planning to hire CIE people for this. I think that's so when it says CIE-like review, that means that we will be reaching out to all the people who are involved with doing these surveys to participate in providing the information that's needed for the review. In addition, they'll be asked, I believe, for recommendations on experts who are qualified to be reviewers, and then there will have to be some filtering process to decide who the review team will be.
That's good. That helps, I think. Because easily one could slip into not having the right people there, but I know your team's conscientious about that. So,
how long do you estimate this project, the actual physical review, would take? It seems like there's a lot of things here, and it does, I agree with Pat, it's sort of open-ended. You know, words like estimate are better than review, for example.
Yeah, that I haven't really spoken to anyone about that. Given the list of terms of reference, I think the review at least would last for several days. And I'm not sure how long it would take for the team that are providing all the information to do their work. But the timeline, I think, for the review is somewhere in late winter, possibly this coming March. We'll have to sandwich this in between several SARC review meetings and other meetings. But I think Bill Karp has indicated that late winter or March would be the rough time frame for the review. So we really have to get our act together if a lot of information needs to be assembled.
Sorry, this is Dan Georgian again. I guess it's impossible to know at this point, but who would do what in this thing, in this review?
Yeah, it would be very speculative of me at this time to answer that, but I can only relate to some previous reviews of this type that we've done, where we've brought in people. For instance, when there was the change from the Albatross to the Bigelow, there was a review of that, how that would affect survey design and calibration, what work needed to be done to provide data for calibration coefficients, and statisticians were brought in from other parts of the world and the U.S. to review those presentations by center staff. In this case, it's going to have to be cast more broadly because it covers more ground and it involves several institutions.
Glad everybody's focusing on this part because, you know, the majority of the Scallop PDT would be very intimately involved in this review, and the timing of that would be, you know, important to keep in mind. Luckily, the winter's a little more quiet than it is right now, so that's good. I just wanted to point out, too, I don't know the status of, but there was another research group working on an AUV towed camera out of the University of Delaware and Rutgers. They have received an RSA funding in the past, and it's not as far along as the other survey designs, but it may be worth just reaching out to them and checking in if that final report is done, if it should be included or not in this project.
Okay, I would, if you have any comments like that, you know, I'm not taking a lot of notes right now, but if you could again, send an email or some written thing to the Science Center to make sure that we get it into the record, and then we can follow up.
Okay. Other comments from SSC members? I think it'll behoove the SSC to have a liaison, at least one person to act as a liaison to go to this meeting. I don't know if we don't need to decide that right now, especially given that more than half our membership is not in the room. We could assign all them the task, but probably not fair. But I'd like you to think, and if you are interested, let me know. I'll send out an email asking everyone on the SSC if they're interested. We'll, of course, need to find out some details, such as when the meeting is, before we can have people make commitments. But I think it'll be a good idea for us to stay quite closely involved in this. So it doesn't seem like there are a lot of other comments on this.
Dan? Maybe comments from the people who aren't here. So we have
And I'll try and summarize what we have so far, send that out, and ask if there are other comments from the rest of our membership. The time frame when you wanted comments, Jim?
I think within 3 weeks. With that, as I indicated, we have a lot of organizing to do, so I think establishing terms of reference early would be really good.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a little bit, and what I'm sort of wondering is sort of the nature, the tone of this exercise. I think people being very much threatened by this, and so some thought should be given as to what you want to come out of this. I mean, a review is likely to be sort of dogmatic, this is the best, that's, and this should be combined with that, and that should be dropped or whatever, which is brutal. And it may or may not be the appropriate outcome. Another kind of outcome is for the CIA group to try to meet with doing all four surveys and try to see how they can be integrated, coordinated, how they can provide added value to other surveys, to come out with sort of a working arrangement that if you want to make progress, here's what you ought to do. It's a little bit tricky because, for example, through this process, it might become clear to the CIE that three of the four surveys are should be integrated or work cooperatively, one should be dropped. And that obviously is going to be brutal for whichever one is dropped, and I have no idea, you know, which one that would be. I'm not going to say that I see a weakness in any of them, but I just sort of think that this could go beyond just an evaluation of what's good, what's bad, but sort of go more towards building bridges, coordinating, getting the best thing actually not just identified but implemented in an effective manner. So I think that this actually could be more than just like a 3 or 4 day review or whatever. It could actually be a working group. Maybe the 3 or 4 day review would be important in the beginning for the panel to pick up ideas as to what they think is working, what doesn't work. But at some point, then you might want this panel to then organize a series of meetings to go over their findings with the four groups so that they have a chance to respond and then also to initiate some kind of discussions about coordination.
Maybe make some, I think those are very useful comments. I just, couple things. One, in previous reviews, there's a quantity, all of these methods have been reviewed in previous SCALP assessments, including HABCAM, but all of them. But the focus there was never on comparative, well, this is better than the other. The question is whether the data is useful for assessment purposes. And in general, unless there's something wrong with the data, you want to use all sources of data. There is a component here. I don't know if there's anything here that says that, well, you know, the sort of statement that you have of three, but there is kind of a comparative statement here. But I, one of the things that's apparent with all the different systems is they have complementary properties to them. As an example, the DREDGE survey is, we collect scallop shells for aging, we collect meat weights, we collect biological samples that you can't get from these other ones. Whereas the optical methods, you can get these kind of in situ relationships of organisms and all this type of thing. So they're not necessarily totally competitive. And Deirdre was whispering to me about the, we had a Sea Scallop, what is it called, survey advisory panel. And there were times it degenerated that there were some people saying, our survey is completely better than your survey. And somehow or another, we've got to make sure not to get it down to that, that we want to work this constructively.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I agree with that, and I've always been railed against the idea of redundancy. When you have two surveys, that's not redundant. That's verification. That's corroboration of results. So I'm not saying that somebody should be kicked out. But there was something in there about evaluating the costs of the different surveys, and I think that gets down to bang for your buck kind of thing. So just sort of using my cynicism, I find it sort of hard to imagine that down the road somebody won't be pointing to something and saying, well, this one's the least productive or the least valuable or the most expensive per unit of information gotten. So to the extent that this review can avoid turf fighting and people digging in their heels as to whose is better, but rather focus on how to integrate it, I think that would be good, and I don't think that that would just arise from a 3 or 4 day review, but could be. I mean, if the terms of reference for the review panel is to make specific recommendations about integration of surveys, then that might be a step in the right direction. That might do it.
Just if I can follow up one other thing, that I think with the things like cost, I don't think this panel should be put in a position of saying this one is better and this one isn't or something. But getting some information like costs on the table, someone's funding it, not this committee that's going to do it. At least some, and I think some of these, I'm not exactly sure how much they cost. And it's kind of obscure, so at least getting that information publicly on the record of what it is, and then people, not us, are going to make decisions on funding and so on.
These most recent comments, such as Devorah's comment about getting costs on the record, lead me to suddenly get quite nervous. And I'm sort of getting nervous from the perspective of if I were the science director, for example. I mean, one of our problems in this region is we've got a very polarized situation. This isn't science, but this is reality. And if I were somebody who had a state review, and the Northeast Center were planning a review that was going to try and get information on the table about the cost of and how I do my survey, I would find that not to be leading towards a constructive outcome, but rather divisive. And so I think that if this process is to review how the data is used in the assessment, then that's totally within the purview of the center to organize it and to achieve that outcome, because it's the lead responsibility for the assessment. But if it's a broader review that's aimed at trying to organize and coordinate the regional actors' activity in terms of scientific work and surveys, I think that the process has to be much more of a collective process to plan it than appears to be the case right now. So I offer that as just a thought to be taken back as people proceed to organize. Thank you.
This is Jim Weinberg. When I first heard about this and the original terms of reference, I don't think the cost issue was included. And I think when people at the center met, some people wanted that put in. It was important to them, and that's why these are draft terms of reference. I agree with you that it really broadens this out into a whole different, could potentially take the meeting into an entirely different place than it would be if you were simply evaluating the science related to each of the components. But so comments on that would be very useful.
Well, I'm perfectly happy with the broad scope and think it's actually merited. I'm just cautioning that if you want it to be constructive and really get everything out in a congenial manner, that the planning needs to be joint from day one, not planned by one party and things circulated to another to ask them to comment. So it's just my suggestion based on having been involved in a few of these things in my life.
John Hoenig, I agree with what Mike said, and just to amplify a little bit, whenever you get into costs, you're into an area where most of us don't really have that much experience, and it could be done in various ways. For example, do you include people's salaries? Do you include the maintenance on the boat? Do you include overhead and all these things? And you could be putting one, you could basically have awful fights with people saying, well, you're not including your salary, whereas my grant's covering my salary, so that's included, and so it's an unfair comparison. And you really would not want to have a disaster like that to have to then deal with after the fact. So if costs were included, it would have to be done very carefully by competent people, certainly not me. But I don't think cost is a good thing to consider, actually, in this exercise.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This might have been mentioned by John before, but I don't think so. I think, and I don't know where it would come to this process, but I think obviously an important thing is not only that you have good science, but that you at least that you have some buy-in from stakeholders who are going to either be subjected to. I'm sorry that Patricia, for example, but that might be at least the objectives of the review.
Just to follow up on what Mike said, I mean, Jim, you talked about talking to the participants, and that's fundamentally different from a group of people planning a review. So I'm sure you understand that difference. And so I think this could be very divisive, but it'd be less divisive if there was a group of people from these different methods talking to each other at the beginning or somehow planning this out, if that's possible. If that's not possible, then we're in real trouble. And as far as cost go, I mean, we're using scarce resources to do this stuff. And I think, you know, I agree with John in the sense that, you know, somebody should be careful in terms of reference to define costs, because it can go anywhere. Where, in fact, there are very clear ideas about cost out there. And so I think that should be expanded to what's meant by this.
To switch to a very logistical question, is the SSC going to report on this at the September council meeting, or do you think you'll need more time? It sounds like you would prefer several weeks to hear back to continue drafting these with the other institutions and academic partners. I'm just curious what to prepare for the public at that council meeting, if this is going to be reported back then, or it would be later at a different council meeting. Just a little more background. This issue came definitely all the way from the bottom up. This, you know, wasn't from the PDT or from the center. You know, this was the public coming to the council through different ways that, you know, there was confusion, there was an interest for more transparency, as Chris was mentioning, just more understanding, appreciation for all the advancements and changes. So this was totally bottom up, and so the public, you know, I would just wanted to get a sense of when it was going to come back so they could hear or understand where these terms of references were going.
Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you, because given the limited number of people here and the variety of comments, I think we're going to have to try an email to see how people respond to this. And I'll draft something shortly and send it around, but I can't predict how long the discussions will then take to for us to come to an agreement. If it happens quickly and they're done, then I'll be happy to present them at the September meeting, but I can't guarantee that we'll have reached consensus by that point.
This is Jim Weinberg. Adding to that, I'm not sure what the plans are for actually when these other parties will be contacted. I just basically was given this a couple days ago and asked to present this to you. And I know that Bill Karp and Russ Brown are very involved with this, and that we'll have to speak with them to see what the next step is.
Okay, so unless there are any other major issues that people would like to discuss right now, I think we can, I'll draft together some of the, try and pull together some of the notes I've taken from the discussion we've had so far, send it out to the entire SSC, and then we'll see how long it takes for us to come to an agreement over email. So that addresses, that concludes our discussion of the second term of reference for C-scallops, and that concludes our agenda for the day, unless there's any other business. I know we had a section yesterday to handle that. Anything, if anyone had any ideas last night that they'd like to talk about? Jake?
Just a quick one. I'm just looking at my calendar. Do we have any other meetings slated between now and the end of the year?
We do not currently. I was talking with Chris Kellogg at the break, and I'd like to have a one-day meeting sometime in November as a wrap-up meeting to talk about ways forward, some of the bigger picture issues, as well as kind of take a look back at what we've done. We've had a lot of meetings this year, and see how we've done. I think we'll have to send out a doodle poll and see when we can get enough people. Anything else from anyone? All right. Well, thank you all for coming. With that, I will adjourn the meeting.